So Five Marbles was a craft beer restaurant at Rendezvous Hotel.
Well, that's something I didn't see at all in my research on you. Because Five Marbles
people,
at Rendezvous.
People don't like to talk too much about their failures, right?
No, so, man. Sometimes failures are things that people should share, because from failures, like you said earlier, lessons.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Definitely. So Five Marbles. Tell me about Five Marbles.
The rent was high.
Ooh.
Feel free, really, to just say anything you want to say.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'll be very candid. Yeah.
Yeah, just,
candid. Yeah, I got nothing to hide. Just sharing my journey.
Yeah.
And yeah, I hope people will benefit from it.
Yeah. Which is the main idea, lah. You know, I've spoken to people who've in season two, people who've done mid-career changes, remarkable mid-career changes, for as a matter of fact. One who was a regional HR director and with her own business, went to become a TCM physician.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? And because there's this strong belief in that discipline, in that trade, and she traded off a lot. No? And then there's another guy who was in PR, became an academic, a senior lecturer in polytechnics, got pissed with all the stupid politics, and then he's now a locksmith.
Wow. Okay.
And he's my age. I mean, I'm coming 54, you know, and he took that plunge like last year, right? So it's pretty remarkable, and he's happy. These people are happy doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I have a friend who was one of my more one of my major beer suppliers, right, for Alchemy.
Uh-huh.
And so he gave up his business.
Right.
Went to Bali.
Right.
Trained to be a life coach. Meditation. Was into meditation, sound therapy, everything.
Wow.
And he shared with me some videos, and I was like, wow, what a major transformation. And,
exactly.
And he's happy. So exactly. I think part of it is that you need to. Everyone's looking for happiness, right? In some way or the other.
Yeah. You know, funny you should bring that up, because last season also, I had the pleasure of having Dr. Geraldine Tan. Jerry was here, and she's from the therapy room. She's a psychologist, yeah? And her business is really popular, really famous. You know, now I can dare say famous. She's on air every Tuesday on KISS 92 now with Glenn and FD. And they talk therapy every Tuesday, right? Nice. In the mornings. So I had her here. And, well, my topic was simply this: what's happiness? And what she said was that she got rid of the term happiness and said, forget it. What, I mean, what is happiness, right? So there must be something that, well, where human beings are concerned, that we have this sense of fulfillment.
Yep.
Something that completes you, you know? And that made a lot of sense. In fact, it's been plaguing me ever since, man. It's been more than a year, I think, almost a year. That, you know, it's still resonating in my head. It's about fulfillment. Yeah. And it made me ask myself, am I fulfilled? Do I feel fulfilled? And that spurred me into starting this vertical about, you know, I love my job. Because what made you make these changes, man? You know, to do this from something that, you know, people go conventionally mainstream to go, yo, you're a lawyer, not a lawyer anymore, what the hell is wrong with you? You're an accountant, not an accountant anymore, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, and these people actually, strangely, most of them attest that it's become a fact, more or less, that, hey, I've lost some friends. People in my new profession don't want to talk to me anymore. And it shows how shallow society can be.
Yeah.
And people shun from making mid-career changes. That's one of the main reasons, man, because I might lose my friends. But then again, how could these people be friends to begin with, right?
Shallow friends. Yeah.
Precisely.
Entrepreneurship is actually quite a lonely journey, especially if you're just starting out.
Right.
And you don't have partners. You're doing it on your own.
Right.
And then you may have colleagues or staff.
Right.
But there's still a certain barrier,
right?
Which I don't really like, because so what I normally do is I always try to make my staff feel that the company, they own part of the company.
Oh,
so all my staff have a 5% profit share.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is something that I really want to emphasize.
No, wait, hang on. Let me get that one right. Stock options or
profit share.
Really?
Yeah. Which is better.
So actually, you go straight for that. You know, I know it's better. That's for sure. I mean, it's not an option, just an option. You gave it to them.
Yeah. It's a profit share. So that is after deducting expenses and everything, right?
Right. Of course. Yeah.
So so you have the benefits without the responsibility.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Kai, I know you're recording this, and that was a nice little bit of what Isaiah just said. Could you do me a favor, please, Kai? Could you raise his levels, please, on his mic? So I want him to be comfortable and not move in, so at least we can still pick him up. Okay, here he's going to start. Okay, everybody. Welcome to... Whoa! He's really doing this, man. Whoa!
Okay.
You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on yet. Are we on center cam? Oh, no, we're not. Okay.
And no worries.
My guest in the studio is a guy who is an entrepreneur, a guy who really explored and ventured into that area of real danger, I would call it, because the food and beverage business is something you do not freaking toy with. Without any experience at all, he moved right on in into that arena. And as in no experience in the food and beverage sector, that is. Okay. And right now I tell you, it's rare that you see me drink some alcohol, but he brought me some craft beer, man. And my guest in the studio is the head honcho of several outlets. Alchemy is one. The Hidden Story is the next. And he has a rooftop bar called Stratos. Isaiah Tan, welcome to CCB TV and to the Chris Hansen Conversation. Thank you so much for the booze, man.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Oh, pleasure's mine, Chris. Wow.
Okay, so...
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very appropriate to start off with a beer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So this is a beer from Australia, Rocky Ridge.
Rocky Ridge.
One of my favorite breweries.
Mm-hmm.
So this is called Rock Juice. It's a triple IPA. 10%.
Okay.
Yes. Pretty strong to start off with. But
it's got this particular bouquet. I mean, can I call it bouquet? It's beer, it's not wine. It's bouquet, right?
Yeah, you can call it aroma, bouquet, however you want to describe it.
Wowee. Oh.
So you get a lot of malty flavors.
Yeah, it's really malty.
Yeah. So when you see this like triple IPA, double IPA, mm-hmm. quadruples, it refers to the amount of malt that they add in.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, this is really malty.
Yeah. But it's tasty, right?
A little bit like Horlicks, lah.
What kind of Horlicks have you been to?
Cheers, everybody. And welcome back to the show. This is this is still the start of our season 3 of the Chris Hansen Conversation. And it is for one of our verticals. I know for most of you who follow us, you know for a fact that I have a few verticals. And this one is called I Love My Job. And the reason why I have this gentleman here in the studio, this episode is called That One with the Alchemist with the Hidden Story in the Stratosphere. Long one. And as I said earlier, he's got these three outlets, yeah? And they're called Alchemy, the Hidden Story, and Stratos.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, my apologies.
Nice.
And we want to find out how come, why, how did he get there? And for those of you interested in the F&B sector, and for those of you interested in becoming your own entrepreneur, that's the reason why Isaiah is here to tell you his story. And I'm going to start this way, my friend. Tell everybody in your own words, just who is Isaiah Tan?
Okay, that's a question that is not often asked of me.
I'm glad.
Well, let's see. Okay, never thought that I'd be asked that question. Okay, let me think.
Sure, please.
I would think that I'm just I am somebody that I'm just trying to make a living. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm also pursuing my passions. So when I'm doing my businesses, when I'm starting up my businesses, it's always about passion.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that if you're looking to be an entrepreneur, you should always examine your passions.
Okay.
And when that passion overlaps with something that you can do to make a bit of money, then you should pursue it.
okay,
as an entrepreneur. If okay. not, you can always pursue your passions on the side.
But I'm trying to decipher what these passions of yours are. Because when you first started out in your work-life journey, you started with a bunch of friends and you started a media company. Now, that is really one extreme as opposed to eventually F&B.
Yeah.
And the nightlife business, right?
Yeah.
So can we try to decipher or help me decipher that one out? Let's talk about how you started in media. Okay. Why that?
Okay, so I'm a Ngee-Ann Poly Mass Comm graduate.
Okay.
I did my degree in Queensland University of
Technology.
Can
I stop you there? I'm not trying to be rude, but I'd like to stop you there. When you went to Polytechnic and you went to mass communications, what was there a driving factor getting into media?
Yes, I actually wanted to be a writer.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Okay.
So I wanted to be a writer,
yeah.
But when I took the TV production module, I loved it so much that I told myself, okay, this is going to be my career. And this is going to be my passion and what I pursue.
Okay. And you sort of made up your mind at that time.
Yes, I did. I loved it. Yeah.
You loved it.
Yeah.
Is that past tense, you know?
I loved studying it at the time. Mm. And I still do love it. Okay. So one of the issues about pursuing a passion as a business
right.
is that sometimes you lose the drive. You lose the creativity. You kind of... the lines blur, right?
Right,
between,
okay.
Between your passion and your business. And sometimes you make compromises on your on the artistic aspects of it to please a client.
Wow.
It always happens. Right?
Yeah. Because clients, sometimes they're not artistic, but they love to think that they are. And then you hire somebody who's more creative than you to help you do the job, help you think, conceptualize, and they tell you, no. Because they have their own corporate governance and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And it really takes the steam out of you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that is often is part of life, not just businesses, right?
Sure.
You often have to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
When someone doesn't see it your way, you don't need to win every argument.
Right.
It is what it is.
But for people who are more right brain like you, like me, it's grating, isn't it?
Of course it is.
I mean, let's call a spade, bro. It's grating.
Yeah. After some time, you move on. I mean, there's no point. You only have a certain amount of energy.
Right.
Right. That you put into your passions, your hobbies, your business, other things you pursue in life. So you are free to decide how you focus those passions. If you're going to focus on the negative aspects, you are wasting your energy.
Good advice.
Yeah.
But you started in a place that people can only dream of. I would think I would be dreaming. I mean, I would have dreamt of it, but I knew for a fact it would never happen for me. But you were in MTV.
Oh, that was just an internship.
Doesn't matter, man. You were there. How was it when you were there? How was life like?
MTV Asia, that time, it was a dream come true to internship there.
Yeah, you would think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, got a chance to direct a VJ segment.
Mm.
Wow. Learned plenty of things. Mm-hmm. But it was a short stint.
Yeah.
I think the most important career experiences of my life was... I've only had three jobs actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started out in Shaw Organization.
Wow. That's cool too, man.
Yeah. I was managing the media there.
Wow.
In fact, I was just sharing this story with a friend the other day. So like I came in 1998 at a time when I had the skills to create the website. I created the show website from scratch, my own.
Wow.
And I actually set up emails, registered the domain.
Right.
And it was very interesting. A certain percentage of them were still using typewriters.
So for a young guy like you, a new entrant into the working life, you must have been in your early 20s.
Yes, I was. Right, yeah.
And then you set this up for this big historical with a great legacy business called Shaw.
Yeah, no, just the web expert.
No, no, sure, it doesn't matter, man. But you got them going into the future, right? You got them into you got a website going for them and all that. I mean, at that time in 1998, it was a big deal.
Yes, it was, and I'm always grateful for the opportunity. And
yeah,
it helped me grow, and it opened the way for me to work in .coms after that.
Yeah, so, but there was a .com bust. Yes. Around that time.
Yes. So I worked for two different .coms.
Mm.
And the last .com was a .com where I was supposed to travel the world.
Right.
And film places of interest and stream them online.
Shit. And wow. The Nas Daily started happening early, right? You could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then so, what happened?
It was full of promise. And then the .com bust happened, as you said.
Ah.
So I was so discouraged because I didn't even get to travel. We had just completed filming Singapore. And we were planning, and then it happened.
Right.
So I applied for one or two jobs after that. Then I told myself, okay, let me start up something and let me be responsible for my own livelihood. So I started Visualize Media.
Yeah.
So that was in 2001.
Is it still around today?
It is still around today, yeah.
Okay. Are you still running the show there?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay.
So I wanted to produce corporate videos.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what we specialize in.
Right.
That is what we specialize in. So, so yeah.
Careful of the tenses.
No, I'm saying that because we are not as active as we were back then.
Right.
Yeah.
And why is that so?
That's because I got caught up with the three bars.
Ah, you see, yeah. You just brought me forward in my content. Right towards the end of the program, actually. And since we're there, so I might as well just talk about that. And I was just wondering, actually, with Visualize Media,
yeah,
which I know is still active. I do my research. At the same time, I just wanted to find out whether or not you're still the driver behind that. And there's also your three outlets. So how do you manage, man?
Oh, yeah. I get really tired. It's 2023 was extremely tiring for me. Mm. I never thought that I would have three bars to manage.
Right.
So how it came about, okay, let me rewind a bit.
Yeah,
so,
Yeah.
Let me tell you about how Alchemy first started.
Right. Before we go to that.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go back a little bit, Ken.
Sure.
This entrepreneurial streak of yours, you started Visualize Media. And you wanted to take charge of your own life. Did you recognize at that time that there was this entrepreneurial streak in you for enterprise? Did you recognize you had something in you? Or was it because it was, I'm sick of all this. This .com thing went, you know, tits up and really bust my bubble. I want to be in control of my future. And therefore, you didn't know whether you could or couldn't. As an entrepreneur, whether you could handle it or not. Or did you really feel confident that you could helm something you can call your own?
Okay, that's a good question. So normally I have a very can-do attitude.
Okay.
Yeah, I am a problem solver. So whenever things happen, I always look for a solution.
Okay.
So I was out of a job. The solution to me at the time was to start up something. And I know that I have the skill set. I have the passion. And everything was in place for me to start up a company doing corporate videos.
Okay. So, but did you recognize that that's a trait you have? Or did you have to go search for it? I'm asking you to do a little bit more soul searching, I know.
Sure. I would say I know that I had the traits to make it happen.
How did those traits come about, man? Do you think you were born with them? Or was it because of upbringing? Parents actually were really encouraging you, you know, to really take matters into your own hands and run things. There are people like that, right? And but mostly I recognize people like those, right, come from families that are all our entrepreneurs, mom, dad, you know, and they don't mind their kids doing that. So they teach them a few things. Then there are those who have parents who discourage them from doing so. How about you?
For me, I only... I think I was quite a late bloomer in life.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah. So it was only really after army.
Mm.
In mass comm, when I got to do more practical, hands-on projects, that I knew I had a knack for that.
Right. So it's because of education and doing a project you discovered that you actually have something in you.
Okay, so that is the skill set.
Right.
But if you're talking about the
business side,
business traits,
yeah.
I feel that mass comm did equip me with better presentation skills.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I was a really quiet kid back then. So, I'm normally behind the camera as well. So it's not very often that I'm put in front of the camera. So yeah, sometimes I do get a bit nervous.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. Please don't be nervous.
Especially, you know, if I have to make presentations, I don't really like all that, but I know that I can do it.
Tell you what.
So,
okay. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Yeah. Relax.
So yeah, I think in summary to your question, sometimes you have to start something before you discover what you're capable of.
Right.
So if you're hemming and hawing and say, oh, I can't do it, whatever, you may never get around to starting anything.
But did you throw yourself into the deep end then?
I actually did.
Okay, tell me about that. This was with Visualized Media, deep end?
Visualized Media, yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that, shall we? Before we move on to your...
Sure.
The exciting part.
So like when the dot-com downturn was happening, our boss, dot-com boss, was hiring out our video department team to film golf tournaments and unrelated stuff to try to make some money.
Right.
Yeah. And when the dot-com crash happened, I was deliberating and I just decided to give the marketing person from Performance Motors a call.
Okay.
And I said, hey, you know, I'm starting up a business.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need any help covering events, do let me know. And she was very nice. She said, oh, the timing is just right. We have... BMW Advanced Driver Training happening in Pasir Gudang, in Johor. And we need someone to film it. So I scrambled, went to buy a camera. Went to buy a camera, hired my friend. We covered it. We filmed for an entire day. Came back with the footage. And then I set up my editing computer. I had nothing.
Nothing. So you basically got the job first, then you went to buy the equipment.
Yes. I caught up.
Oh,
I caught up the guy that does Matrox editing suites.
Okay.
Set up something for me. I need it. Set it up. And it was still early days and there were errors and everything. And you could lose your work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I basically... Yeah, I had to just get it going.
Yeah, right? Roll with it, right?
So just get it going.
Okay.
And the video turned out, they loved the video so much.
Okay, good.
That they offered me a retainer to film all that.
Oh, wow. We from PML, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm really thankful for that. It's like my first client and then they had so much trust in me.
Right.
Even though they didn't know that I didn't have anything at the point in time.
Now they do. Now they know.
But it was just me, right? So they were sort of investing in me.
Right.
And
right.
They saw that I had the passion and I was able to make it happen. And you have to believe in yourself. So when you throw yourself in the deep end, you know you have to get it done. Right. You get it done one way or another.
So it's like my friend from Catch Locksmith who was on season 2 with me and he was telling his story. He says, don't worry, kaka lai. Now you're in it already.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice, right?
Yeah.
So that's the attitude. Huh?
Just get something going, man. If you have a dream, a passion that you want to be an entrepreneur, just get something going.
Okay.
Get something going. Whether you start small,
yep.
As long as you get something going, eventually you get there.
But did you think, when you were considering starting up your first business, we haven't even gone to the other businesses yet, man. We're just talking about the first business, yeah?
Yeah.
But when you were thinking and considering at that time, did you weigh the risk and risk return factor? I mean, it's like, how much risk am I going to be taking? And also factoring in the mental and emotional stress, you know, behind starting up my very first business. So did you weigh all that?
Of course I did.
What was the conclusion? I mean, I know the conclusion is you started the business, right? How did it weigh? Was it more towards, I think it's going to be better for me. Oh, shit, I don't know, man. I really don't know. Shit, I really don't know. It's really just mascaka, like, you know what I mean? Did you do all that? Because a lot of people would.
Of course. You don't build a tower without sitting down and counting the cost.
Yeah.
Right? So there are also opportunity costs.
Yes.
When you start up a business.
Right.
Right. So the main one is your career.
Yeah.
Your career, the salary that you were making.
Right.
So I believe that for most people, it's always easier to switch early career rather than mid.
Yeah.
And even late career.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So in mid career, you're at the peak of your career, you're earning a decent amount, you're giving all that up to start something that may not work out.
Yeah.
So for me, I was early career.
Mm.
And that was definitely one of the considerations.
Right.
I knew that, hey, if it doesn't work out, I can just...
When was that? That was your late 20s. Was it your late 20s?
Yeah.
And you've got to be... you've got to be... Here we go. Don't give me that shit, man. Fucking hell. I'm really going to do this.
I'm not that far off from you.
Okay. I'm just going to throw one, yeah? You're coming 50.
I am 50, yeah.
Ah, okay. Not that bad.
I'm the same, yeah. So, not too far off from
not
you.
Not too far off, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, actually, you spent a good, 30 years at least as an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right. You're saying early career change, going to enterprise is a lot easier than doing it a lot later, of course, naturally.
Yeah.
But at that time, weighing pros and cons, weighing the risk return factor, were you married then?
No, I was not.
Okay, so it's a lot easier, isn't it?
It is a lot easier.
So what would your advice be? Do it when you're young?
My advice would be just do something. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. There are considerations, but I believe that the journey is the experience. What you learn from it, it is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's priceless.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do it, you may have some regrets, you know, later on in life.
Yeah, but then again, if you do it, and then after that you fuck it up. You know, you get PTSD for life too.
You may, but if you treat it as a learning experience, and you can say, hey, I tried, it didn't work out, but that's fine. You move on. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on a little bit then. From Visualize Media, and I read it in this article that was published, that they interviewed you, Kaizenaire, right? That you actually bring your guys out for drinks. And then, like, I got to stop doing this shit. I might as well own the place and people come to drink. I mean, fuck. I mean, I'm sorry. No offense. No offense and no disrespect to Kaizenaire, yeah? But to me, I would have asked you something more, like what I'm going to do right now. Dude, that can't be the reason, man. That can't be the sole main reason why you decided to move into an arena. And to me, I would tell people, you know, God forbid, dude, if you haven't got any fucking prior experience, and especially a bar, let alone a restaurant, don't go there. Do not go there.
Yeah.
Unless you're just a shareholder. But if you're going to run the shit, you got to have been in the shit to run the shit. You know what I'm saying? If you're not, I'm not saying F&B is a bad place. I'm just saying it's dangerous as hell. It's a minefield.
Yeah.
But you moved, or not moved. You actually ventured into an arena that's completely off from whatever you've been doing previously.
Yeah.
Now, I know this because I had several F&Bs and I failed. That's why I'm telling you, PTSD, man, PTSD.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, and the reason why I called you to come on the show is because I've been through that. But you didn't fail, whereas I have. And I want to discover, I know where I went wrong, but I want to know, apart from my own experience, you walked into this arena with the reason you gave in that interview. I think that's not enough. Is there more to it? Of Starting course. Alchemy.
Of course, there's more to it.
Yeah, please.
It was a short interview. and I have failed. Yeah. I will share a bit more with you later on that.
Okay.
You already said, okay, let's go back to when I brought my staff out for drinks.
Right.
Right. So it was a small bar.
Right.
And it was obviously failing. So to take over a failing business in that same location, it's a recipe for disaster.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I changed the recipe when I took over it. So I spoke to the owner. This owner is a Sun Microsystems engineer.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just working upstairs and he was very happy to let it go like a hot potato, right?
Right.
So I took over for nothing. Zero.
Really?
Yeah. He was reaching the end of his lease. He would have had to reinstate and it would have cost him a few thousand dollars.
To reinstate, yeah.
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 And yeah, so it wasn't going well. And he was just happy to pass it on to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, now I have the bar. I signed the new lease. The rent was relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw potential in the place because there was a lot of alfresco area.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped in. I talked to the manager and said, do you want to stay on? And he stayed on with me for about five years.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty long. That. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously there is a risk, but at that point in time, I really wanted people to experience craft beers. And there really weren't any craft beer places in Singapore at that time. So
Paulana Brauhaus?
Brauhaus, it wouldn't consider them a craft beer. They're a brewery.
Okay, okay. And, so it's different from craft
and they
beer.
they have what, 2-3 types of beer?
Right. 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 Yes.
So I wanted people to experience a whole range of beers
okay.
from all over the world.
Okay.
In one place.
Okay. All right.
So that was the concept of alchemy.
Yeah.
And alchemy is the process of transmuting metals to gold, right? So it is a process just like entrepreneurship. So you have to keep experimenting and you keep experimenting until you actually find gold or you find the process that
gets you
to the goal. And then it is a process. It's not instant. You got to work at it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why I called it alchemy. It's a process. Everything's a process. Yeah.
Did the craft beer idea work?
Yes. Yes, I think a lot of people love the fact that you could the first few years, and then there was a craft beer boom, and you have a lot of other bars.
But
first few years, we were doing tasting sessions for craft beers, like you would do for wines,
right?
Yeah, and those were really fun as well.
Okay.
And to me, the first few years weren't even really about money. I was still very busy with my video production.
Okay.
And I was happy to just let my manager run it.
Right.
So I would curate the craft beers.
Right.
And then I would go in and my friends would come down. Yeah.
But not having been in F&B before and gone into, and you acquired for free Alchemy, you re-signed the lease. You still have rent to pay, though it may not be a lot. You still have staff salaries to pay. Then, you know, didn't you have to have realized that you must take into consideration if there was food being served, your COF, which is cost of food. Yeah. And then you got to consider cost of goods, right? Which includes salaries, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not so focused and left it to your manager, you still have to worry about the liabilities that you've got to pay as an entrepreneur, isn't it? I mean, you've got that one on Visualize Media sorted because it's been around.
Yeah.
You know what to expect. You know what to do. The experience is there. This one's a completely butt-naked new baby.
Yep.
Right? Did you consider all that, man? I mean, you had to have some have had some worry.
Of course. So part of it is the capabilities of your manager and the trust that you put in him to manage the place when you're not there. Because
you trusted this guy so much.
Trusted, yes.
Did you have to have him to earn that trust to run the show for you?
Yes, okay. So a lot of people have told me that I'm too trusting, I'm too kind. And that has, of course, and they tell me, is Alchemy a halfway house? Because I would hire ex-convicts.
All right, okay.
I would give opportunities to people just to give them a chance.
Right.
Right. So different people have come to me at different stages of their life, say, hey,
I need a job.
I need a job. Some of them have turned out to be the best managers, and some, of course, have disappointed.
Right.
Right. So, but at the end of the day, I feel that I'm blessed to be in a position where I can help.
Okay.
So, I try to believe the best in people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay, sign you on. Let's see how it goes.
That's your HR policy. Well, let's talk about how your finance policy is like. when you took over Alchemy, right? And then you left everything in the hands of this guy for 5 years and he did good by you. Thank God for that. The point is that you must have had some contingency funds set aside, have pockets a little deeper in order for you to be able to fund the business for at least 6 months to a year, I suppose. Or get investors in.
Yeah, so the cost of running the place was really low, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew that from my video production business, and that is a bit of diversification as well, right?
Right.
So my video production business is able to ensure that both businesses are running. So at that time, it was good, yeah. But, of course, risk involved. Mm-hmm. I do go down as often as I can. So, it of course, it got really tiring as well, right? So, daytime, I'm doing video production. Evenings, I'm going to the bar and checking over what's happening and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
As a new entrant into the F&B sector, man, I'm pretty sure the first few sets of experiences, there could have been, let me be fair to you. Were there anything you gained as well as any pitfalls you may have experienced? You know, just a new entrant into this minefield called F&B. Anything that you'd like to share?
Okay, so I've always been, the admin work, I've never been great at admin work and accounts and everything. So to me, it's like I love to start something up,
mm-hmm.
and then I need people to manage it, mm-hmm. right? So I think it helps that you know your strengths and weaknesses, and you hire people to fill that in.
To fill the roles.
Yeah, fill the roles.
Right.
Because you can't do everything on your own, right, as much as you would like to. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well,
so,
you really left a lot of leeway and trust into a lot of people into playing these roles.
And that has resulted in some bad situations.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
care to share some of them?
Manager taking money, part-timers taking money. Oh,
common, man. Okay.
Yeah. And I've been criticized by my friends, chided by my friends about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, why are you so trusting?
Mm.
And it all goes back to the same answer. I like to give people an opportunity.
Mm.
And I'm also giving them an opportunity to disappoint.
Chef Benicito was also on my show twice, right? And he said this, if you want to really kill your friend, ask him to join the F&B business. And personally, he told me before, Chris, if you have an outlet, right, you have to be there. You have to be on top of things.
That's true.
And he was so damn right.
That's true.
Yeah. He was so damn right because pilfering off the till, right? Falsification of invoices, they're real in this business.
Yes,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's the reason why I want to find out from you. So you encountered the same.
Yes, of course.
And even though your friends chided you, you still refused to move away from that generosity of yours in hiring people, giving them an opportunity and being kind to them and trusting them.
Yes. Like I said, it's a weakness of mine. And okay. I try... Of course, if someone is straight up shady, I wouldn't hire them. Right? I'm not stupid, but
I'm not saying you are.
But if a lot of the people who come to me, they really need a job and mm-hmm. they are down and out for one reason or another. And if I'm able to help them,
mm-hmm. you will.
I will
mm-hmm.
Give them the opportunity, even like those people who have not had much experience, and train them up, give them an opportunity. That's what the probation period is for. So although it is a painful process when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One mm-hmm. of the best hires I had was my very first hire. For my video production business,
right.
Visualized Media.
Right.
So the person was a nurse.
Mm.
And he was young with huge passion for video production.
Right.
And
No experience.
And I told him, okay, I'm going to bring you on. I'm going to train you up personally over the next few months. And then we assess from there. And he became one of my best,
one of your best hires.
Video producers. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure. I mean, you got a good heart, man. I mean, if you do this sort of things, there got to be some dividend that you will also gain, you know. But most people, the world is cynical in a way, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Even me, I'm being cynical with you. I mean, I'm asking, hey, dude, why are you doing that? You know.
Yeah.
Especially in this minefield of F&B, really. I said that a few times already, calling the damn thing. Then it's a minefield, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and you've then from Alchemy, you started the Hidden Story. Hey, gorgeous looking place. I love Chesterfields, man. By the way, I gotta go visit that joint.
Yes, you should.
I like places like Speakeasy. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me know when.
Where is it, by the way?
It's in Katong, opposite I-12.
Holy crap! Nearby, man.
Yeah.
No wonder you were the St. Pat's boys. St. Pat's boy that owned the place that people were talking about in my chat rooms.
Oh, really?
Because I'm from St. Pat's too.
Yeah.
Right? And somebody put up a picture of the Hidden Story in one of our chat rooms and said, this is owned by an old boy.
Wow.
And we're all old boys, you know? And then somebody cheekily
said, some older than the others?
Yeah. Well, fuck yeah. You know, and we're going, hey, since we're old boys, man, I think we should get a good discount. I don't know about that, but I'm saying it here.
No, definitely. Just drop me a message. I'll make sure.
I'll come around. I'll definitely come around to the Hidden Story. I really want to check it out because I love the look. I think it's really nice. It looks rather plush, you know, a real typical speakeasy. It's pretty cool. Kai, did we put that picture up, man, for the Hidden Story? There you go. I love it, man. I think I love the color scheme, man. I really love it.
Yeah. This is a place that I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
So how we started was I was notified that Alchemy would have to move due to a possible unblock.
Okay.
And it was just when. So there was no timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, after 13 years there,
oh, that long, Alchemy. You had Alchemy for...
Since 2010, yeah.
Oh, geez.
So after 13 years there, I was really demoralized because I loved the space and what it represented.
Sorry, Where is alchemy?
Where was or where is?
Oh, where was? Okay, where was it?
We were at Magazine Road.
Magazine Road.
So, Magazine Road is opposite Robertson Quay and Clark Quay.
Right, right. Near the old Mohammed Sultan.
Yes, quite near.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 13 years there.
So, okay, so you're saying was, as in last year, no more, or just recent?
Last year in July, we moved to Prinsep Street.
Ah,
128 Prinsep Street.
So now Alchemy is in Prinsep Street.
Yeah. So okay. it was a very painful move. Yeah.
Right.
All the memories and, mm-hmm. and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that it's the people that make the place.
Right, right.
So it's very heartening that, you know, the regulars all came to find us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a way
the regulars there, it's like a family thing now. Everyone knows each other. They just come around.
So that is one of the major emphasis that I have for Alchemy.
Right.
It's not just a bar where you go to drink craft beers
right.
or anything. It is a bar where I connect people. I introduce them to each other.
Right.
Everyone sits together.
Right.
Instead of at separate tables. You know, when I get different groups of friends coming and say, hey, join the table. And then
right.
they all get to know each other. Mm. They become good friends. And
you have jam sessions there too, huh?
Yes, we do. spontaneous jamming sessions. I try to play the guitar a bit. And I have a piano there now.
Yep, yep. Chris Chu plays there sometimes, right?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
I jammed with him once many years ago. He won't remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's just the vibe of the place. And
right.
the different musicians just come down and then they suddenly have a go on the piano or on one of the guitars that
right.
I have there. And
right.
Yeah, it's fun and they all get to know each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Alchemy has moved to Prinsep Street. But when you started The Hidden Story, it was before you actually had a confirmation of that you guys were going to go.
Exactly. So I was looking for spaces and I chanced upon a space and then... Sterling Sticks, were actually supplying to Alchemy, and I asked the owner, "Hey, you know, if I move Alchemy to this space, would you like to do the kitchen?"
Okay,
and he said, "Oh, interesting, but I have another project. We're converting the upstairs of Sterling Sticks into a bar. Would you like to be in on that?"
Oh,
and I was like, wow, yes, because I love shop houses. I love the history of conservation shop houses,
right?
And the charm of it, and Katong, I'm in his Katong, man. Yeah. So
home, right? Home.
Yes, and I jumped at it. I was, I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the place turned out beautifully. I had a vision for the place with my partners that we wanted it to be to represent the architecture, the feel, the charm, oval charm.
Right.
So when you should have seen the place before that, it was just a few tables and yeah. But there were on the ceiling, there were four Tiffany lamps.
Right. The old Tiffany lamps.
Antique Tiffany lamps. Yeah. No idea how old they were. So I said, okay, we're keeping that. I bought in a few newer ones to match.
Right.
Just a few sofas. Every table is an antique table.
Mm.
I sourced and bought out all the antique tables on Facebook and Carousel. And it was a labor of love.
I can see that look on your face, man.
Yes. So it's a lot of my friends love the vibe, the feel of the place as well.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So Hidden Story started and how did the business go? When you guys embarked,
being a hidden bar,
yeah,
it was difficult.
You don't say.
Yeah, so, it's been about 1.5 years.
It's only been this short period of time so far, huh?
Only 1.5 years.
Okay.
But, I feel that. Okay, so I can't be there all the time.
Okay.
So we depend very heavily on the manager to entertain the guests and to service them, right?
Okay.
So manager is very important there. So business has been up and down, but I'm very, very thankful that we have a very good organic reach.
Mm-hmm.
So like I always ask the guests, hey, how do you find out about us?
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
And then they say, oh, my friend told me I must come and discover this place. And word of mouth is the strongest testimony.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now that you've brought that up, you know, you got to have a good manager, especially for speakeasy, right? People get to know you well, get to know the guy, like the guy. It's all about rapport, isn't it?
Yes.
But swing back a little bit of visualized media. When you got the job, from the very first one from PML, from this very nice lady working there, she gave you the opportunity and then you got the retainer, right? It was also because there was a certain amount of rapport relationship, right? So is it true to say that in any form of enterprise, that is a very key critical factor, your relationship with people?
Of course. In business, there is a lot to do with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, right? So you cannot start a business without interacting in some way with your customers or your clients.
Right. But now that you said that, man, because you and I, we're from the same generation, you know, we're the better looking people. The more Brazilian ones. And, you know, compared to the young today, you know, your young customers, man, you talk to them and they go, what the fuck are you talking to me, man? Can you just WhatsApp me or something? You know? Why? You're fucking talking to me, man. Shit.
You know?
I tell you something funny, man. Now that I'm talking about that, right? I just got back a couple of days ago from a very short flight from KL. And even in Malaysia, this is a phenomenon. Because there was a young couple in their early 30s, you know, standing in queue to go to the counter to get your boarding passes, right?
Yeah.
And this lady, an older lady up front, was in the front of the queue and she walked back to ask, because the counter wasn't open, nobody was there. And she asked him, like, do you know what time these people are supposed to be open? And the couple looked at each other, like stunned. Why is she talking to me? That's the look they've got, man. I was watching the whole scene, right? And why is she talking to me? And they looked at each other and went, not a word, just like that. And she looked at them like, what the fuck? Right? You know, and she had to walk all the way to the information counter to get information. She came back to tell everyone in the queue, as in publicly address everyone in the queue, people, it will not open till this time.
Okay.
And I wanted to applaud that lady. See, older people, initiative, not afraid to open up the damn mouth to say something. You know, and this phenomenon is nuts. Now, when it comes to business today, and in a bar business, right? I've also seen this happen locally where, you know, they're so entitled the way they ask for, you know, when they order the drinks, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And then I don't want to look at you anymore. You know, like, what the fuck? How are you going to build any relationship with these people, you know? Because to them, relationships are only on social media.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you encounter that in your businesses? And what do you think people should do? First of all, I think I'm going to say it. I don't give a flying fuck. I will say this. Young people, open your freaking mouths. Gold will not fall out. Right? So, yeah, you know, and there's nothing wrong with making friends physically face to face. It's not a 2D world. It's a 3D world. Yeah. Here you go.
Okay.
So what do you... For someone who runs these businesses, man, from media to F&B, it's all about relatability, it's all about relationship. How do you deal with this kind of generational change? You know, because you've had Alchemy for a long time.
Yeah.
Your clientele has grown older. But then again, you also want to bring home the young clientele as the years go by. So there's longevity in the business, in all businesses for that matter. How would you plan to deal with something like that?
Okay. So I think it's not so much of an age thing, but, you know, if you have introverts, they're going to be that way anyway, right?
Gosh, mate, we're talking about a whole generation of introverts? Can't be what?
Okay. But
so, I'm being an asshole. Yeah.
You're going to get customers from all walks of life.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Some just want to be left alone.
Right.
And some want to interact.
Right.
So you need to have a certain EQ as well as a manager and or owner of the F&B outlet.
Right.
If they don't want to get involved,
they don't want to communicate.
Sure. Place them in the corner table. Close the door. Okay. Let them have their space.
Yeah. So the solution is put these fuckers in the corner.
Well, if it makes them happy, you know.
I'm going to put you into another spot now. Because let me just ask, before I ask that question, which I'm dying to ask. Alchemy moved to Prinsep Street. Now, all the while in Magazine Road, the rent was cool. When you went to Prinsep Street, how bad did it get? Don't tell me it's low too. There's no freaking way, man.
It was lower. Huh? Because we shared a space with a cafe.
Right.
So the rent is half.
Right.
So the cafe runs during the day. Right. We take over from 5 to 6
p.m. So it's like sublet.
It's the transition.
Right.
Not really a sublet. We are kind of like an operator.
Okay, okay, yeah. Okay.
So I was quite fortunate also to bump into an old poly friend.
Mm.
And then she said, hey, she's one of the partners in the office.
Right.
Antler over there.
Right.
And she said, hey, you know, I want a bar that at my office again. And I was like, okay, the timing seems perfect. Took a look at the place and loved it.
Right. So they could also use this. For the same reason you started that alchemy to begin with. I'm sick and tired of bringing my guys out for drinks. I might as well own the same place. And this one wants the same. So you actually worked in the same kind of concept, right? Okay. But when you moved over to Katong for the Hidden Story, how's rent there, man?
The rent is still manageable. In fact, rent across all three of my bars are quite manageable. And I insist on that because I told you that one of my ventures had failed before. It is 5 Marbles. So 5 Marbles was a craft beer restaurant at Rendezvous Hotel.
Well, that's something I didn't see at all in my research on you. Because 5 Marbles at Rendezvous.
People don't like to talk too much about their failures, right?
No, so, man. Sometimes failures are things that people should share because from failures, like you said earlier, lessons.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Definitely. So 5 Marbles. Tell me about 5 Marbles.
The rent was high.
I was about to ask, you know, the reason why I went there, man, because I wanted to hear something like that. Why? Because I'm of the opinion, and I'm not alone in this. I'm of the opinion, right? This country is run by landlords, man. Right? I mean, we take a look at the cost of living. We look at cost of things, inflation in Singapore. I mean, in my mind, I just can't help but come to the conclusion that it's because of greedy landlords. And they want to raise rent. And then if you do better, they raise even more when it's time for your renewals. And sometimes I have this picture of Shylock-looking people in my head. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah,
they want a pound of flesh, you know?
Yeah.
And do you agree that for most retail outlets, doesn't matter what F&B otherwise, yeah, it's because of rent that businesses fail here in Singapore?
I agree. It's one of the major factors for me as well, because the rents are going up for Hidden Story. The rent is going up for Hidden Story, and Alchemy, it should be going up in a few months as well.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
So all these, it's part of it. So that is one of the factors that is out of our control, right? So we put a lot of money into the renovations, starting up. Marketing, get people to come and say you only have 2 years to make it all back. So that is, yeah.
It's, well, you know, when you said the word, it's beyond our control. I wonder, no, bro. Is it really? Thank you so very much, man. Let me get a Horlicks. Yeah. Horlicks is good for you.
This is more like a fruit juice.
Okay. This is not the one. Okay. This is not the.
So this is a fruit different juice. One.
Let me.
Yes.
What is this one, man? This is also Rocky Ridge.
It's also Rocky Ridge.
Candy so Carl.
It's called Candy Carl.
Sounds like a porn star's name. Sorry, sorry, Rocky Ridge.
What kind of porn have you been watching?
I don't know, man, but I mean, it's like a porn star name, man. Come on, like Candy Carl.
That's true. Yeah. So it has quite a few different fruits in it. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers, brother. Let's try the porn star. Mmm. Wow. Very freaking different, man. Gorgeous. I like this one. I like this one. I like the porn star.
It's one of my favorites. Okay.
I like the porn star, man.
All right, I'll give you his number later.
So rent, man, rent. Rent is killing everyone. You said earlier, it's beyond a control. I mean, is it really? I mean, are we really all beholden, held at gunpoint by these people?
It really depends. So if you're starting up an F&B or any other business for that matter, that requires a physical location that you rent, I would say do your sums. Don't overcommit.
Right.
And if you can look at how extending the your lease as much as you can. Say you can sign on certain terms such as a 3+3.
Right.
Right. So 3 years plus 3 years. And you can work certain conditions into it, which not a lot of people would tell you as well, especially if the property agent is working for the landlord.
Right.
Right. So you can work in a certain clause that says rent to not increase more than 10%.
So counter offer, negotiate the agreement.
So if you sign a 3+3, right, mm-hmm. at the end of the first 3 years,
mm-hmm.
if you have that clause, mm-hmm. right, the landlord can't increase it by more than 10%.
Yeah, yeah.
For example.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't do that nowadays.
It's up to you to try to negotiate.
Yeah, what I hear anyway.
And hunt for it, yeah.
Okay, so rental, definitely a very big factor in business.
It's huge, man.
Yeah. Pandemic, lockdown. Man, you got to have sucked for you, man. That must have sucked for you big time. What do you guys do?
Okay. At that point in time, thankfully, I only had Alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally demoralized because that was my main source of income.
Mm-hmm.
And
main source of income. What happened to Visualized Media, man? I mean,
even during the pandemic, we weren't allowed to do video production, right? So only pandemic related video production, like educational videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So everything was locked down, shut down.
Right.
And so I was still paying rent.
Right.
And I was still paying salaries for my 2 full-timers.
Right.
And so...
You're digging into your pockets then to pay.
Yeah, it was horrific. Yeah.
Mm.
Most business owners would have just let the staff go, right?
Right.
Yeah, but I didn't. I told them, okay, let's see what we can do.
Right.
So we tried to do deliveries, but wasn't able to gain much traction.
Okay.
And then I started Subscribe Beers.
Mm-hmm. Subscribe Beers.
Yeah.
Subscribe Beers. Wow. How creative could that be, man? Okay.
So I was also looking at how badly affected the suppliers were.
Okay.
And our local breweries as well. So I wanted to do something that would help us all.
Okay.
So Subscribe Beers is beer subscription package.
Okay, sort of figured that one out.
Very intelligent.
So what happened? Well, how does this work? You subscribe for beer and you deliver the beer.
Yes, every month we send out the package to you, right. And it's a curated package.
Right.
Every month is different, but at the beginning, we tried to do more local beers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then later on, we diversified to international beers.
So did it work for you? Did it help you pivot the business, man? Subscribe beers.
Any subscription package is very difficult. Because to manage, I believe consumers mm-hmm. these days, they want control. They want a lot of control. It's like, and some of them are very particular about the beers. Like, oh, I don't like stouts. Or I don't like IPAs.
Right.
And so it would be very difficult to customize the packages in a certain sense.
Right.
So it was average at best, but it was just something that...
But it kept you guys afloat.
Not exactly. It kept us going to a certain extent.
Well, basically, things could have been worse if you didn't do that.
Yeah. So right. I was quite demoralized, but I told myself, hey, get up, do something. Yeah. Just do something.
Better than not doing anything.
Yeah.
So Subscribe Beers, does it still exist today after the pandemic?
No, there was no longer a need for it after everything opened up. So I decided to close it down.
Right. Wow. Have you heard of this establishment called the Elephant Room?
That sounds familiar.
Okay. This is owned and run by this guy named Yugnes. And when the pandemic started, right, and he just only opened up.
wow.
Just, man, in Chinatown. Yeah, but you know what he did? He pivoted so quick. He turned the whole place around into a sort of a distillery, I think. It's all booze from India.
Okay. Right?
And he started to curate the booze, yeah, and gotten into, well, he was on my previous podcast show.
Wow.
And I had a few F&B people on that show. And one of them happened to be I think she's taken over. The heir apparent to the Bombay New Woodlands Indian restaurant, yeah, chain. And they got to know each other on my show, and then they started doing work together. So she came up with the idea of how you can do DIY tose. And he had his business. And so people who ordered, you know, booze from him or vice versa, tose, DIY tose from that business, it will come package with, you know, each other's products.
It's great synergy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's fantastic. It was quite interesting, man. You know how things started to work out for people, you know? I just wanted to share that with you because it's something I've learned how people do this. But, you know, now that the pandemic is coming gone, doesn't mean it won't happen again. Are you in shape to face again head on some bullshit like that? Have you made contingency plans? Having gone through something like that before? In recent times only?
I definitely learned quite a few lessons from the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I will restart Subscribers if and when needed.
Okay.
And we'll see. I think we just have to do more deliveries. It will be a very different lockdown, if any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think so? How different?
I believe that we cannot afford another lockdown. The economy cannot afford another lockdown. Mm-hmm. So it will be restricted more than a lockdown.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of the rules just simply didn't make sense. Like the 10:30 rule.
I think it's because, you know, it was the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and everyone's learning anyway. Yeah. But then again, you have that, at least those in mind still, should something like that would have happened. And you don't believe it's going to be that stringent the next time around.
Yeah.
Okay. Stratos Rooftop Bar. How did that one happen? That one I'm a bit hazy, I got to admit.
It's the same process.
What?
So, hidden story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was
because you thought Alchemy was going to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I started up the hidden story.
Yeah.
And I still needed to find a place for Alchemy, right?
Oh, good. Kidding me, man. So he was really still looking for a...
So I was looking around.
Yeah.
And I saw this listing online.
Okay.
And I called the agent up. It was beautiful rooftop.
Okay.
Beautiful rooftop.
Where
space.
Is this? Where is this?
National Design Center.
National Design Center. Hey, Kai, can you put that one up, please? Stratos Rooftop Bar. Here we go. No, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is your third outlet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually had to do a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And
to the National Design Center people.
Yes. And they accepted. And we officially launched late December last year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, last year?
Yeah.
December?
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude, you're talking about...
No, previous year.
2022. Okay, I got last year, geez. Okay.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, started it up, and then, like, Alchemy was still there.
So you ended up with three bars, thinking that it was going to be one.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't say you got saddled with three. Are you happy with having three bars instead of just one?
I mean, it's an experience that I wouldn't recommend anyone. it's very tiring, and I find myself very mm-hmm. ineffective, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way I could handle all three bars, so I needed my partners to help out more at the other bars, and I needed my managers to step up, and I had to look big picture. I would go down, do my problem solving, oversee the operations when needed, and just try to keep on top of it all, man. It is quite crazy.
It is crazy, man. I mean, I'm just surprised that you don't have much eye bags like me. Good grief. Now that you've got three successful bars going, the accidental bar owner, multiple bar owners.
The accidental.
Yeah, the accidental one, yeah. Now that you've got three, would you count yourself ranked among in a company of, let's say, for example, and he's going to come on my show pretty soon, Danny Lung, Timber Plus, you know, these guys.
No, formerly
Dennis Fu, boss of Europa.
No, not at all. No. My bars are small bars, and it isn't one brand across multiple venues, right?
Right.
Yeah. So they're small bars.
You say the three different bars, three different concepts, but you know, but it's all this guy, Isaiah Tan. Duh. It doesn't have to be a group. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but I have partners in the other bars.
Right.
Alchemy is the only one that is completely mine. So,
partnership for Alchemy.
No.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, dude. Jeez. My goodness.
So, like I said earlier on, I find myself very, very overwhelmed and very ineffective. So I told myself, okay, what do I need to do? I need to concentrate and be effective at one place first, right?
Yeah.
So I'm normally at Alchemy.
Yeah.
And then especially with the move last year to Princep.
Right.
It was and getting things back up and running.
Right.
So there was a lot of work to do.
But visualize media. How?
Okay, so visualized media, at our peak, we have four staff working for me. And then, so same thing happened. The manager was doing something funny on the side, affecting the business directly. So I had to shut it down.
So you shut down Visualize Media?
I shut down the office.
The office, okay. Yeah. But the business is still there.
Business is still there.
Are you still guys? You guys are still working on projects?
Yeah, we're still working on projects. Right. I work with my trusted freelancers.
Okay.
On certain projects.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't you find focus an issue then? I'm going back to the first few questions we asked at the beginning of the show.
So for video production, no. Video production and photography, it's project based.
Okay.
And it normally wraps up within a few days.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was not difficult for me.
So basically you can find that there's a good ability for you to be able to manage and organize your time.
Yeah.
For all your businesses.
So I discovered that I'm more of a project based person. So I'm able to perform at my best when I know that there's a
definite start and end
timeline.
Yeah.
Everything, right? So like when the bar is in operation, constantly running, I need my managers, my partners to step up and help me in the other aspects of it.
Okay. Yeah. To end off the show, we've been talking for about close to an hour and a half, man. What any more bars are you that you're planning to open? Accidentally or otherwise.
Okay. So one of the aspects that I've been thinking about is let me rephrase that.
Sure.
I don't think I will be opening up anything else soon. I really need to consolidate and ensure that the bars are running smoothly and at the peak of what they're supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no new bars for me.
No plans in the offing, no other plans in the offing at the moment. Really?
Okay. So for Stratos.
Okay.
We have to move out of the location in March.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So a new tenant just took over the entire floor.
Right. And what are you gonna do with Stratos?
It's something that I'm still deliberating.
Okay.
So,
either continue somewhere else or just forget it.
Probably shut it down for now.
Okay.
And it's really painful because it is a beautiful spot. And it's the same concept isn't going to apply unless I shift it to another rooftop, right?
Yeah, of course. And there'll be only so many rooftops you can actually go think about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what do you think as an entrepreneur, when you're in a situation like that, is there anything wrong or bad or ugly in shutting down one business?
There is nothing.
Is it bad business? Is it considered bad business?
Bad business. There's nothing ugly about it, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Business can shut down due to many different factors.
I mean, there are a lot of people out there that have never run a business before, never owned a business before. That's why I ask, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it would be painful for the business owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, after all, a baby that you conceived, you started.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you want it to be extremely successful.
Yeah.
But, doesn't happen for every business.
Yep.
So you have to be prepared for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, don't be discouraged. Business is business. It even if it fails, it does not necessarily reflect directly on you.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got just this last few simple questions to ask. Any regrets? Solo to be your first man. Yep.
Any regrets?
Any regrets?
No. I mean, if you ask if I would have done things
differently,
maybe. Yep.
Okay.
But no regrets. I mean,
you would still have gotten into this business.
Yes.
Okay. So of all these businesses, man, which one do you love the most?
Alchemy. Yeah, without a doubt. Alchemy is, although it isn't my first business, mm-hmm. it's my first bar, first F&B, and the connections that I've made, the people who, the customers who become friends, the journey, the learning experience.
Mm.
Alchemy has been a wealth of that.
Great. And can you easily say that as an entrepreneur, you love your job?
Of course.
Yeah, you do?
I do.
Thank you very much, Isaiah, for being here with me and spending the hour and a half plus with me, and also for the beers, man. There's still this one we haven't opened up yet. We'll open up off camera.
You're welcome. Thank you for the time.
No. Thank you for the time. And thank you also for being, you know, as candid as possible. I'm sorry for all the... I don't think my questions were difficult.
Not at all.
They were just different.
They made me search my heart.
I'm glad for that. And also, thank you for this. I don't know if you guys could see this, but I got a little gift from Isaiah. And is this... stock certificate, man. It's already been redeemed. I'm not going to make any money from this. And it's a real kind of old one, man.
1969.
Spartans Industries Incorporated. Just to show, you know, business, guys, business. This is what business is all about. Having a share in something. And if you are looking for a job, and you can't find a job and you want to try F&B, he's a very generous man down here. You can always give Isaiah a call. You've been watching the Chris Hansen Conversation, and this is our series, I Love My Job. Today, we talked about the F&B business and what it means to be an entrepreneur and what you should be thinking, how you should be thinking, what you should be looking forward to, and what you should be also watching out for. And this is Chris Hansen. Stay safe, people. Watch out for the next episode. Until the next time, make sure you just, you know, subscribe to the channel, CCB TV Podcasts. At the same time, hit that notification bell. I'll see you guys again soon. Bye-bye.